Psalm 4. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that Yahweh has set apart for himself him who is godly. Yahweh will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in Yahweh. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Yahweh, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Yahweh, make me dwell in safety. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the reason we have this passage today is because in the coming Lord's Day, the call to worship and prayer for help, the first song, prayer of confession, all. Oh, not the prayer of confession. Prayer of confession will come from the serial readings. So that needs to be changed in the booklet. With the call to worship, the prayer for help, and the first song will all come from Psalm 4, verses 3 through 8. You notice the context for these six verses is established in the first two verses of the psalm. David, the psalmist, is distressed. He has those who, in love for worthless things, are attacking him and even lying about him. And so we have how to deal with trouble, how to respond, some things to avoid even. And the first thing we see is that the foundation of how to deal with trouble is the Lord himself and his eternal decree. In verse 3, know that Yahweh has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord in his eternal decree from outside of time, from before the foundation of the world, has set apart particular ones for himself. That's how they came to be godly in the first place. The children of the first Adam don't have any other hope for godliness, except that whereas every intent of the thoughts of our hearts were only evil, and that continually, yet God in his mercy determined that he would set some apart for himself. And so even from such a group as that, he produced godly ones. And Christ ultimately ends up being the answer to how can the holy God show such mercy as to make sinners like that into the godly? Well, because he joins them to Christ, the last Adam. And he forgives our sins in Christ. And Christ is worthy and deserves not only that we would be forgiven, but that we would be made godly. So as you see those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who love God because he first loved them, and out of a principle of love to God, are being made able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. As you see the godly, you know that the only way they could ever have gotten this way is if God determined in himself and for himself to do it. Know that Yahweh has set apart for himself him who is godly. So the psalmist in the psalm is laying down at night and thinking about all that's going on, and he concludes in verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Yahweh, make me dwell in safety. So if God has decided in himself, set apart for himself those who are godly, and that's how they became godly, then God will surely be their hope, their safety, everlastingly so. And that's how to get a night's sleep when you are in the midst of trouble. And there are at least these three things in verses 4, 5, and 6, that resting in this firm foundation of God having set you apart for himself and given Christ for you, and on the basis of Christ righteously making you godly, and so you are able to lie down and sleep in peace. There are three things at least, verse 4, verse 5, and verse 6, that we are to avoid on our beds and in our hearts and our minds. The first is fuming. Be angry and do not sin. So there's the type of anger. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. There's the length of anger. You have the righteous sort of anger. Do not allow anger to take control. If you allow anger to take control, you will have the unrighteous sort of anger. It is right to be angry on behalf of God and his glory and his goodness and his truth and his righteousness, that you would be indignant in his behalf. We see the Lord Jesus that way. And of course, that can't be sinful, because if it were sinful, then we would be dead in our sins, wouldn't we? Jesus is our righteousness. And yet, the kind of fuming that goes on and on and on, that is not righteous anger. Righteous anger doesn't just follow the prescription in verse 4a. It follows the process in verse 4b. Meditate within your heart, speak within your heart on your bed, and then be still. Go over it with God. There's no one but you and he and your thoughts and your hearts on your bed. Just go over it the once. Don't fume and obsess. Go over it with him. Leave it to him. You're done. Be still. Stop. We are able to do that if we have that foundation, verse 3 and verse 8. That God has set us apart for himself. That's how we got where we are. And that he alone, surely, is our hope, is our help. Okay, so watch out for fuming. Watch out for unbelief. Verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in Yahweh. Don't sit there and figure out what you can do to fix the situation. It's another obsessive thing, right? There's the obsessive fuming, and there's the obsessive plotting. No, your life is not an attempt to manipulate outcomes. Your life is an offering to God. You know, Romans 12, offer your bodies as living sacrifices unto God. And so when you're figuring out what to do in a situation, you figure out what is right. If you need help, don't obsess. Go get help from the ones that God has given you. Ask the Holy Spirit, especially, for wisdom. Search the Scriptures. But don't obsess. Again, offer unto God righteousness as a sacrifice, as the offering of your life. But remember that the outcome and God's blessing in it does not depend so much on what you do, but on what the Lord has already determined that he's going to bring out of the situation. And that's how the two halves of verse 5 go together. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in Yahweh. He's the one who's going to bring it about. And this will keep you from sinning in the situation. Because if you plot and plot and plot and try to figure it out, you will end up hardening your heart against people. You'll end up being bitter. You'll end up justifying lying. You'll ignore other responsibilities that would make you worse. Deny the faith and be worse than an unbeliever in order to try to carry out whatever scheme you have. Don't plot and scheme. Offer unto God the sacrifices of righteousness. You could do all the stuff that you had plotted and schemed, and it would end up worse for you than you started. And you could do none of that, and it could turn out marvelously. It will turn out however the Lord has determined for it to turn out. And again, in the same wisdom and the same love in which he has set you aside for himself. right? In Ephesians 1:11, when it talks about God working all things according to the counsel of his will, it talks about it in the context of he's the one who has determined to make us joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so his working out all things according to the counsel of his will is aiming at our inheritance of a new heavens and a new earth in union with Christ. So offering the sacrifices of righteousness, the plan for how you're going to live is according to what is righteous. Then put your trust in Yahweh. So avoid fuming, avoid unbelief, which results in obsessive plotting, and then avoid despair. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Yeah, people, you know, you may be tempted to it, or you may have a friend who, you know, likes to chew on gravel and just break their teeth. It's an expression. They're just always miserable, and everything's miserable. Nothing good's coming out of any situation. Remember, if you guys have seen the Winnie the Pooh stuff, but like Eeyore, always everything's bad. See what, or even with a hyperactive, you know, see what happened this week. See what happened this week. See what happened this week. Yeah. They're walking up to you on Lord's Day morning, and you could almost like press the recording from last week for you see what happened this week? Dude. There are many who say, verse 6, who will show us any good? And the psalmist raises his hand, the third line of the verse. I will. Yahweh, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. In other words, the believer has more gladness in the worst times of his life than the unbeliever has in the best times of his life. Even in the time of the best harvest they ever had, they didn't have as much reason for gladness as the one upon whom the Lord smiles. The one to whom the Lord lifts up his face. And of course, you know, you see that face in not by pictures, God forbid, this is why the pictures are so bad, but the Holy Spirit is the one who gives it to you. And he who has made light to shine the darkness, shine in the darkness, has made the light of the knowledge of the glory of God to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. You and I have more reason for gladness in the worst times than the unbeliever has in his very best times. And that's why I will both lie down in peace and for you alone, O Yahweh, make me dwell in safety. And so if we rest on that foundation, we can watch out for the fuming of the anger. We can watch out for unbelief that leads to plotting and obsessing. We can watch out for the despair that thinks that everything's always bad all the time. Lord, grant to you to practice thinking upon your bed or in whatever situation it is that you are tempted to those other three things. To remember God's everlasting plan in himself, set you apart for himself, that he would be your delight, and that he is the one who's carrying that out, and you rest in him, and then you can have peace and sleep. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word, for bringing it to us this week. Things going on in the world, things going on in the church, and yet, from outside of time, you have set us apart for yourself. Remind us that it is for yourself that you have set us apart. Be the delight of our hearts. Remove from us the anger and the unbelief and the despair. And grant that your Spirit would put gladness in our heart more than when their grain and wine increase. Pray that you'd make us to live this day with your joy as our strength. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.